Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and clearly I'm having a very off night tonight, so please bear with me. Also, I have my co-host, as always, Ryan. How are you doing, Ryan?
Better than you? I don't know. I had a very busy week, so we'll see.
Yeah.
How it goes.
I had an insane week as well. This week I was working on putting together the highlight reel from last year's Extra Life event, which ended up turning out pretty good for my first foray into video editing and first use of Premiere. I was pretty happy with myself. I had to go through, it took like 5 hours to get the audio actually like listenable. Is that a word? In the Scary Games clip, that right. audio was awful.
Right.
So bad.
Well, when we did that stream for Slender, we had all of us in vent. We had all of us playing the same game. And then, so not only were you getting your audio, you're getting everybody else's audio. So it surprisingly went well for what was included.
I don't think that I actually checked, because I think that was the first time I used XSplit. I remember downloading XSplit just before the event, and I had never used it before. So I wasn't used to the settings. I'm not even 100% sure which mic it was picking up. It could have been picking up my room mic. It could have been picking up my like headset mic. I wasn't using the Yeti like I normally do when I podcast.
Right.
So it was just like this big mishmash of awful, and I was just like... Oh man, I was peeking like crazy. Everybody else was almost silent. Like I had to go through like second by second and be like, oh, I'm going to talk, so I have to raise it way down. And then, oh, somebody else is talking, I have to put it all the way up again. And it was just like, I had to like boost you guys like crazy. And then I had to put myself down. And it was like, oh, it took forever, like 5 hours for 7 minutes of video. But it looks awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to put you down. I mean, I think it was an amazing video, and it reminds me that Extra Life is going to be great.
It's going to be so much fun. I want to go and play all of those games again. Maybe not maybe not Civ 5, but definitely Mass Effect.
Like, yeah, I definitely got that vibe.
GIS Gamers Down.
I was watching that clip, and I'm like, I want to tweet Val right now and be like... It's Mass Effect 3 time. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's get the squad back together. Dust off the armor. Just get the power armor back.
And I have to literally dust off the Xbox. I haven't played it since Bioshock, I guess?
Oof.
Infinite, when that came out. So
that's a good
been a while.
7 months.
I can't believe it's been that long. I can't believe we are in the end of October. We are about to do our Halloween episode. We are on episode 96. This is just...
We didn't dress up.
I guess
we can't dress up. It's before Halloween.
That's true.
So
that's
that would be a little weird. But no, cosplay.
Yeah, that's true. Cosplay, you can dress up anytime.
Yeah, exactly. Who needs Halloween?
So what have you been playing this week? Anything Halloween-y?
Yeah, but I did want to give a quick shout out to everybody's been hearing about the Stanley Parable, I'm sure. You've heard of the Stanley Parable, Jocelyn?
Yes. Yeah. I have not actually looked it up, but I have seen multiple tweets from multiple people being like, best advertising ever, best whatever. Yeah. So what is this?
It's the next sort of Gone Home phenomenon in my mind, in the sense that it's one of those quirky, non-standard games that a lot of bro shooter gamers will say, that's not a game, there's no gun. Well... That's untrue. It is a game, and I played the demo with this one. It's actually a really neat concept, because the demo is a sort of joke in itself, because the game is very comedic, and the demo is a slice of content outside of the main game to give you an idea of what to expect in the main game, as all demos should. But most demos give you like that vertical slice, right? Whereas this is giving you a cool experience where... it's very portally. It feels portal in the sense of the humor, and you're like, you're in an office, and it's like, welcome to the Stanley Parable demo, where we will be demonstrating the greatness that is the Stanley Parable. And they walk you through this little hallway, and it's like, you know, it's like 5 minutes, and then they take you to this thing. It's like, oh, okay, now you need to tell us whether you want to buy it or not. And that's just the beginning, and it sort of goes off in these weird tangents. And
so what is the game about?
I guess
you haven't played the demo, so well, you don't have any
I played the demo.
You have played the demo. You haven't played the game, so you don't have hands-on like game experience. Right. But I mean, I don't even know basically like what the story is or what the context is. So what is this? What is this, Brian?
That's a loaded question. I won't spoil anything. I have not played the game yet. I want to play the game. It's not in the cards right now, but. The game is based around you are Stanley and you are in an office and you hear a voiceover say, it's like, you are in an office and it's empty. Where did everybody go? And then you're kind of like herded out of the office and down the hall. And as you're walking, you're getting this constant, very sarcastic voiceover and they're talking about your actions. And you can choose to ignore that voiceover and the voiceover will probably make fun of you for ignoring them. And it's a really quirky game where, have you ever seen that Will Ferrell movie where he's got a narrator? I've never seen that movie.
I don't think I've ever seen one with a narrator. I've seen many of them, but...
Yeah, it's one of the odd, good Will Ferrell movies, and...
It's not Elf. Does Elf have a narrator?
Oh. I hate that movie.
That's one of the only Will Ferrell movies that I actually like.
Will Ferrell, he's just too over the top for me. He's like new Adam Sandler. He's just way too over the top. And I like old Adam Sandler, who was, still over the top, but still he's riding that line. Like, here's the over the top I don't like, and this is where he was in, like, Billy Madison. Now in, like, what's that movie where he plays his ugly twin sister? No, thanks. Anyways... what I meant to say was play the Stanley Parable demo and you'll get an idea of what everybody's talking about. And I think that's the reason a lot of people are talking about how smart the marketing is for this game is because they built basically a free game to support the paid game. You know, it's not a demo. It's another product. It's like a smaller little thing that exists on its own. It's really hard to explain, but it's not your typical...
But
you know,
same gameplay, same whatever. Yeah. No story, no spoilers.
Yeah, but there is even like a sort of mini story to the demo. You know, it's very self-aware, I guess is the best way of putting it. Because you're in there and you're constantly hearing this voiceover say like, all right, now we're going to demonstrate our wall technology. Oh, I guess that doesn't work yet. And it's just you can't explain it because it's very hard to explain, but it's totally worth checking out. It takes about an hour to get through. And that'll give you an idea.
What platform?
PC. So it's on Steam. And I mean, you're going to see that a lot probably over the next like 3 or 4 months when it comes to the Gamers Inn. We're going to be talking about a lot of PC games, I think. Mm-hmm. As we have been, you know?
We've been pretty PC heavy. Mm. I would say even this year in general, ever since I upgraded my PC because my doghouse is just so screaming fast that like... Right. I do enjoy, like, Bioshock I played on the Xbox, and I do enjoy getting away from, like, we'll probably pick up Origins on Xbox, only because it's nice to sit on the couch as opposed to sitting in front of the computer, which I do so much of already. So, I mean, but in terms of actual tech, I mean, obviously my PC is so far ahead of the current consoles, and I'm not going to be able to afford next gen in a couple weeks, so I am going to get that freaking Zelda 3DS, though. I don't even care. I don't even know what I will sacrifice, but there will be sacrifices made should I have to for that Zelda.
Yeah, that Zelda game. I keep forgetting about how awesome that looks. Like,
November's going to be crazy, but yeah, we have been pretty I would say PC heavy, 3DS heavy. We've really moved away from the consoles, but again, it's just with Steam being so cheap and there being so many really cool, really good indie titles this year. It's just, I mean, I think gaming in general has been PC heavy. And I mean, God, Hearthstone?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to find that...
Actually, sorry, before I forget, I'm just going to jump in right now and say we have a super huge, awesome, amazing announcement on Monday. Ooh. So everyone should tune in to the Angry Chicken Live, because I'm not actually 100% sure how this is going to go, but I swear to God, guys, you are going to want to be there. So, Monday, Angry Chicken, Hearthstone, yes.
So, it's live. You got to be there live to take advantage of this announcement, or is that so you can hear it before those podcast suckers
Yes, so you can hear it as soon as possible, because okay. I'm not 100% sure how it's all going to play out. We're mm-hmm. still trying to figure things out on our end, but be
Interesting.
There.
Interesting. I don't know what she's talking about, guys, so don't try leveraging me for information.
Well, and I don't even know how much I can say.
Jocelyn probably doesn't even know. No, she knows. She knows.
It sounds I know like what knows. It is, but I don't know how we're going to... Things are going to happen. So.
Okay. Interesting.
Angry Chicken this Monday, guys. Right here on A Move TV.
Monday Anyways, at 10.
That just talking about Hearthstone just reminded me. So
yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I want to know. You know what? I'm gonna make a prediction of what it's not gonna be. Dave Grohl is doing the a cover of your intro, and he's also gonna guest star on episode 4 because he's such a Hearthstone fan.
Yeah, no, that's not it. You know who is guest starring this week though? We have Brian Ibbett. Coming on this Monday.
Man, because, Ibbett.
Because Dills is out of town, so we do actually have Ibbett this week.
Wait, did you just spoil the announcement for Monday?
No, that's okay. Not the announcement.
I was just going to say, like, Jocelyn, we're live. I can't say that.
I can't edit that out. Can I reach into the interwebs and take that back?
Well, I don't think anyone's listening live, so technically you probably could.
No, there's 2 people viewing.
Yeah. That's,
anyways, no.
Whatever. Let's not focus on that. That's really neat. Check out amove.tv/live for the special announcement that is definitely not
Dave Grohl.
I went with the same one because I couldn't think. But I'm excited to hear about you played The Wolf Among Us.
I did. And so we should totally say right now, guys, spoilers, because right. I've now caught up to Ryan. We can candidly talk about this game, which Good. Is... awesome, amazing, Good. Worth the money. I really enjoyed it. So if you haven't picked it up, go pick it up on Steam. It's $25, which is the same as The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
And it gets you, is it 5 episodes, same as Walking Dead was?
There are 5 episodes, and if you go to Green Man Gaming now, there's a 25% off code.
Right, because I missed the 25% off and I was really pissed. Anyways, it's still worth it at the $25 price point, but it is absolutely worth it at the 25% off. Price point. So
it's absolutely worth it at money off. Okay. Put it on the box.
Screw you, dude. Screw you. Right in the face. Anyways, so the Wolf Among Us, I played it this afternoon. Man, is that good.
Good.
Although I will say I still don't enjoy the mechanics of the random fights and stuff that you have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I would rather just like walk around, interact with objects, figure things out, have intense conversations, and then see a cutscene. Because I found I only failed once, and it was in the very, very, very first fight. We are entering the spoiler zone, people. With the woodsman.
Oh yeah,
and it's like it's when you have to tear the axe from him and all of a sudden it tells you to press Q, and I purposely went into the controls before the game started because I was just like, okay, I want to make sure I know what I'm supposed to be pushing and everything else, and there was nothing telling me I had to push Q. So then all of a sudden Q pops up on the screen and I'm like, whoa, wait, what? And then it's like a split second thing where it's like, oh, you didn't press Q, now you're dead, start over. And I was like, man.
Well, okay, like I'm glad you're not faulting the game for it, because I will say I had the same issue. It didn't ruin my experience. It was kind of, I had the same reaction. I was like, oh man, like my hand totally wasn't there at the time, because when a cutscene starts, like you probably, I was like, oh yeah, let's do this, what's gonna happen? And then you watch it and then you move on to the next segment. But I actually had a mouse glitch in my game that caused me to load up a controller and play with a controller, and I found that it actually, because when you play it with a controller, you know, you're either playing or you're relaxing, whatever, and I found that when the sudden sort of like mash X comes up, you were able to get there within the amount of time required.
I found that with my left hand to hit the Q button, I couldn't actually tap it fast enough. It wasn't the first fight. It was another one. I think it's when you fly out the window and then he like has you by the throat and you have to like tap Q really, 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 really fast and it takes forever.
Oh, you're supposed to lose that one, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know. I literally was like bent over my keyboard like, oh, with my right hand like going crazy like, no.
Okay,
and I was just like, this is stupid. I'm going to lose this anyway.
Yeah. But never mind. But that's another totally other issue that with game design, it's like up there with invisible walls, which is the, you know, unbeatable mini action. What are they called? Damn it. When the thing pops up, it's in God of War all the time. And, you know, when the thing pops up, you have to push the button.
It's in Mass Effect, too.
What is it called?
Every once in a while, you get those Tarragon or Renegade options.
It's got a thing.
Left trigger, right trigger. It'll come back to you.
Keep going.
Anyways, I didn't know I was supposed to fail that, because I
Quick time event. Quick time event.
I was going to tell you, but then I was just like, no.
You're an asshole. This is for that comment. All right, I guess you got me back.
Yep. So, I actually got the green all the way around the Q button, because mm-hmm. it shows you there's like a square Q button that pops up on your screen, and there's like a meter that goes all the way around the button. And I got the green all the way around the button, and I was just like, it was just sitting there at full and nothing was happening. And I was just like, no, come on. How many slivers of this can there be left? I didn't know that it was unwinnable.
Well, I think, yeah, because
the game should be unwinnable.
You turn into a like sort of half werewolf at that point, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, anyways,
you're a werewolf.
Yeah. Spoilers. It's okay, we already said spoilers. Yeah. But you have the confrontation with the woodsman and the mm-hmm. I found the whole entire game was really like I had to think a lot, mm-hmm. which I really enjoyed. There it was like really mysterious. Usually I find things like there were some points that I think were supposed to be big reveals that I had already figured out, but I also went through
games for yourself when you a lot. I find we have these conversations where it's like I totally didn't see it coming. It's like, dude, did you see this, and this?
Yeah,
you should have seen it coming. You know, take notes next time. God.
Well, like the big cliffhanger at the end, I was just like, oh, I see where this is going. When he's like walking up to the police tape, I'm just like, I know who that is.
You didn't even think for a second that it was Beauty?
No.
Well, yeah. Well, did you read Fables?
No.
Okay, so, I don't know if I should say it, but, like, they say that the end of episode one totally throws away, like, sort of the... If you've read Fables, then don't say, but in the comic books, because this is totally different. Because in the comic books, Snow White is alive.
Yes.
And this is a prequel. So it, for people who read the books, you know, was a huge shock.
I thought, from what you had said mm-hmm. about her being, because we talked about Once Upon a Time last week, and so you said that, you know, Snow is such a big character, and I was like, oh, well, that's really weird, because I never thought of her as a big fairy tale character. She was never that big. She was big to my mom. My mom really liked Snow White, but never for me. So mm-hmm. I found it odd that both in Once Upon a Time and Fables, and as an extension of Fables, The Wolf Among Us, that Snow played such a big role. I was just like, who is this? Like, where is this princess coming from? Seriously.
Right.
But, and now she's gone. And I mean, that's kind of crazy, because she did play such a huge role in episode one. So, I mean, it's interesting. I love stories that are willing to kill off big characters like that and like not even care. But,
yeah. But I'm curious, like they say, as I said last week, this game, has, like The Walking Dead, your decisions matter, but also the timing of your decisions. So when you were given a choice to go to Toad's apartment or to Prince Charming, or no, that wasn't his name.
Prince Lawrence,
Prince
I think.
Prince Lawrence, thank you. They're all the same. they're all princes. Screw those guys. Did you go to Lawrence's or did you go to Toad's place?
I went to Toad's place, which apparently 60% of gamers have made the same decisions. Although there are some decisions, this is what I like about Telltale's games, is that they give you mm-hmm. the major decisions at the end of your playthrough and tell you not how you did compare to others, but like what you chose, what others chose, and the percentage of gamers that are on either side. Mm-hmm. So I went to Toad's. Did you go to the Prince's or did you go to Toad's?
I went to Toad's and then looked up, like, sort of after, not really, like, because I was curious, like, in my mind, because I've been trained by video games, I'm like, I'll go to Toads, because in the past, it usually doesn't matter who you go to first. You just get a little dialogue change. Mm-hmm. But in this game, it's very different, because if you were to go to Prince Lawrence's first, you actually save him, or can save him.
That's what I was going to ask, is mm-hmm. because when it pops up at the end and shows you all your choices, it says, you didn't save Prince Lawrence, but X percentage of gamers did or didn't or whatever. So, yeah. And I was in the minority there, and I was like, how can I be in the majority of people who went to Toads first, but in the minority of people who saved the prince? So is there actually a way to save the prince and go to Toads first?
I don't know. Maybe if you, with timing, maybe if you rush through Toads' segment, there's a specific time limit. I don't know. That would be pretty sophisticated game design right there.
Mm-hmm. So it's, I took forever at Toad's place because I pissed him off right off the top of the game. Mm-hmm. I said something mean to him about him and his not being glamored. And so he was already mad and distrustful of me or whatever. And I hate when it pops up and it says just for things that you think are totally random and don't have anything to do with anything. And then it pops up in the corner and it says, Toad will remember that. Or something like that. I'm just like, oh man, of all the dialogue options that have just happened, he remembers that one thing where I was a bit of a dick.
I always wish that when it said that, I had the ability to take control of the character, go back to Toad and be like, yeah, you better remember that, and then walk away, and then he's like, what is he talking about? I just said, now I'm definitely gonna remember that. What an asshole. Yeah. Also very creepy, you know? But it's interesting. It's good for people who want to do multiple playthroughs who find out, I have to be super nice to Toad, so I need to go back and not do what I did.
Yeah. So, I went through everything. I confronted him with, three or four different lies before mm-hmm. we actually got to the bottom of what happened.
Yeah.
I never threatened him or anything else. So, my playthrough at Toad's was very, very slow. It is possible that by taking so much time there, I didn't actually save the prince in time. Who knows?
It sounds like, maybe getting to Toad's place late, and again, this is just me assuming because I didn't play it, but maybe getting to, I would be interested to play it. I'm actually going to play through again. These segments are so short that you can mm-hmm. easily, before the next episode releases, say, I'm going to go back and give it a little taste.
Yeah, it only took 2 hours, I think, for me to play through. Which isn't bad. Yeah.
But I think that, I feel like that timing choice would present different gameplay, so it's worth mm-hmm. it to go back. I feel like they almost designed two different levels, because if you're going to save Prince Lawrence, you're getting different dialogue and different options to click on. Whereas if you get to Toad's place late, it might be very similar, but his tone will be different.
There was also something in there that said, what happened to Toad's son? And so I think it says something like, Toad's son was safe because you got there in time and scared off Tweedle, whichever, Dumb, D, whichever one it was, I can't remember. Yeah. Potentially there's something there where something bad happens to Toad's son, which is horrible. And to me, when you look in the magic mirror and you see the vision of Prince Lawrence in his apartment, he looks already dead to me. I was totally surprised when we got to the apartment and he was still alive. It's like I flipped him over and then Snow went, and I was like, what? Dude's dead. And then she's like, he's still alive or something. And I was like, really? He looks pretty dead. He's got a gunshot wound in the head.
It's weird because, it sort of throws the rules out because they're fables. It's very hard to kill them.
That's true.
You put an axe in some dude's head at the beginning and you're not even fretting. I'm like, that guy is cold stone killer. You just put an axe in someone's head and you're lighting up and talking to prostitute Faith or whatever, and it's like it's not even happening. But no, you just you yank the axe out and he's like, he'll be fine, just give him some black coffee and he'll be great.
That is true. I forgot about the hard to kill fable things. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm trying to remember, there was something else about the prince and getting there. Oh, it was the gun. It said that, I don't know, I just, that whole thing, I was so confused because I found the gun and looked at the gun, and it's like, this gun hasn't been fired in the last week or something like that. And so I was just like, well, then it wouldn't have mattered if I got here, you know, like 2 minutes ago or, you know, like 2 hours ago, because wasn't just shot. He was shot a week ago.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking too. Like, it's odd that the timing of what felt like maybe an afternoon, you know, caused this guy to die.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing, the other, I guess, really big in the heat of the moment decision that you have to make comes right at the end when you have to choose who to arrest, whether you're going to arrest Tweedle, whichever, or if you're going to arrest the woodsman. So which did you pick? Because I picked the minority.
I picked Tweedledum.
Oh, good, because I picked the woodsman. So yeah. I'm glad that we picked opposite. So why did you choose to pick Tweedledum?
I mean, just based on what the woodsman said and how sad his kind of story is. And it's like, okay, you probably didn't kill her, but you know, and you were, we saw him in the mirror and he was stumbling away. He already looked pretty, he was out of it, right? So it would have been pretty tough for him to chop someone's head off. And Tweedledum, obviously there's something going on there. So to have him in custody made sense to interrogate. I think you would get more out of Tweedledum than you would out of the woodsman. Mm-hmm. The woodsman said most of everything in the bar.
So the reason that I went after the woodsman instead, I'm kind of regretting my choice now. just based on how everything played out, like after the bar, I was kind of like, oh man, like I totally should have had, you know, the other guy in custody. But at the same time, although I knew that the woodsman did not actually do it, I never did think that the woodsman did it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'll get to this a little bit later. But anyways, I didn't think the woodsman did it. Mm-hmm. What I thought was that he might have more information about who she works for and would be willing to talk to me.
Right.
So I thought that I was going to take him into the sheriff's office and have a conversation and possibly get information out of him. Whereas I figured if I arrest Tweedledum, I don't actually have anything on him other than he was at, I couldn't see his face clearly in the window of the apartment. Mm-hmm. You have Toad's word against his about what happened in that room because, Tweedledum wasn't actually, injured, right? Toad took the poker to the back of the head.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't really have anything to tie him to anything. So I thought, I won't be able to hold him. He's not going to tell me anything. He's not going to talk to me. So I'm going to go after the woodsman. But I do definitely see your side too, where, you know, like, you don't know where to find him once he leaves the bar. So it's better to have him in custody. But I mean, again, and this is what makes it such a great game, is you can see both sides of the mystery all the time. And you're just like, oh, should I do this or should I do that? But I found my probably biggest pet peeve, other than the QuickTime events, was the dialogue choices. I had a similar feeling towards Mass Effect, where, you know, it's a 2 or 3 word description of what's going to be 3 or 4 sentences.
Yeah.
And the one that you pick, especially given that you don't have a lot of time to think about it, the one that you pick may not necessarily be what you mean in that situation. You know, you might think you're saying one thing and then it comes out and it turns out that it's like the mean decision. And I'm just like, well, no, I didn't mean it like that. I meant this.
No. Yeah, I get that. And I mean, like, just like with Mass Effect, I mean, the game that did the opposite, that was Dragon Age Origins. And literally you would go, okay, like, what do I pick? Read that one. No, that's not what I want to say. Read that one. No. Okay. That one, the one that took me 5 minutes to read. I want to say that one. And then you click it, and then because you read it, there's no point in having the VO read it again, so it just kind of displays, and that's the other option. There's a middle ground where you just make better descriptions of what the guy's going to say, and then there's the great thing that Mass Effect did, where when you moused over, or you controller sticked over, you would see, like, sort of like, this is a love option. Or no, wait, that was Dragon Age 2 that did that very well.
No, Mass Effect did Paragon and Renegade, so stuff was blue or red depending on, you know, kind of whether it was leaning towards nice or mean.
Yeah. One way or the other. In Dragon Age 2, like, it would tell you, like, okay, you know, you're flirting with this person, or you're going to piss this person off, or you're bribing this person. You know, they had these little icons mm-hmm. that would show up. You know, that sort of thing is helpful as well.
Yeah, Fable, I think, did something similar as well, mm-hmm. where it would tell you, you know, this is good, this is bad, this is how this person's going to react, and all of that. And that I find is helpful, but it's definitely interesting, given that there's a timer associated with how, like, fast you have to make your decisions in The Wolf Among Us, that, you know, you can't sit there and think for 10 minutes. Like, you literally have, like, 10 seconds, make your choice, go.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, most of the time I was just like, okay, not that one, not that one, not that one. Oh, crap, wait. and then it's like, I don't want any of them. And I think right at the beginning it tells you that silence is actually an option. So basically you can let the timer run out, not say anything. And that happened a couple times and I didn't mean it to. And it was really funny because at one point Snow White was just like, oh, so now you're holding your tongue? And I was like, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, and they have to have the silence as an option, because if you're going to have that timer, it's like, well... Mm-hmm. You got to force me to say something. And sometimes silence is the best option. If the dialogue options don't make sense to you, then it's like, well, I'm just not going to respond. Or sometimes not responding is the response the supporting character wants you to do. Like, there's an option to tell off the deputy mayor, and then there's the silent option. And you can choose mm-hmm. to be silent. And she just says, it's like, good, I'm glad you didn't say anything. Let's get to work, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Although I did want to say, you know, flip them off or something, but they didn't have that option.
Essentially, I don't think we actually said this, but essentially what you're doing in The Wolf Among Us is you're trying to solve a murder. Mm-hmm. There's a prostitute that you meet in the first, like, 2 seconds of the game, mm-hmm. and her head shows up on your doorstep, essentially, later on that night. And so you have to try to solve her murder. So I had a really good idea mm-hmm. that it wasn't the woodsman, because when I was a kid, and I don't think this is an actual, like, fairy tale, but I had a book called In a Dark, Dark Room, and it was a book full of scary stories for, you know, like, kind of 5 to 7 to 8 year olds, and I read the crap out of it.
Okay.
And there is a story in this book about a woman who always wears a ribbon around her neck. And it took me I had to Google it after, because I couldn't, like, I know I'd read it so many times that I couldn't remember who she was or what the context was of her story. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so she walks around with a ribbon around her neck from the time that she's a child. And she ends up, growing old, getting married, and she has she ends up marrying her best friend, and he asks her, like, every day, like, where'd you get the ribbon? Why do you always wear a ribbon around your neck? Blah, 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 blah. And it's not until she's on her deathbed that she finally says, okay, you can take the ribbon off my neck. And then her head falls off. And so the ribbon is holding her head on. And that's the scary kid story. I think my mom had a really weird, twisted sense of humor. But anyway.
That's interesting. You know, it's interesting that, like, I mean, fairy tales are one of these weird things that get a pass. Most fairy tales are freaking creepy. I mean, take Red Riding Hood. Like, the grandma and Red Riding Hood are inside the wolf's stomach, and then they get cut open, and the woodsman fills the wolf's stomach with rocks and then puts him in the river. That's pretty dark. Yeah. And that Disney takes those stories and turns them into cartoons. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it at first it's shocking that they've made a mature game out of those stories. But then when you really think about it, it's actually more shocking that Disney turned them into kids' stories.
Exactly. In a Dark, Dark Room isn't a Disney thing. It's not even, like I said, I don't even really think it's a fairy tale. I think, if anything, it would qualify more as, like, a folk story or something.
Okay.
So I kind of had this idea. As soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, wait, you know, light bulb. Like, I know this girl. I don't know what she's from, but I do know her. And so... In the folktale, she does die when her head falls off. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, you know, she actually, one of the first things that she talks about when you're kind of away from the woodsman and that whole thing is settled, when you're having your conversation in the street, she's like, oh, do you like my ribbon? And I was like, now she's even calling attention to it. It's like, that chick's head is totally coming off.
I wonder if that has some sort of connection or if it's a fluke, but the ribbon definitely has some sort of significance. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe the ribbon was sort of like, a connection, because it feels like most of the Fables have met before, but by coming to New York, they've sort of got this clouded sort of amnesia type thing happening where they remember certain other Fables but don't remember others, even though they had sort of a clash in the past. So I thought maybe the Big Bad Wolf sort of spawns multiple stories.
That's
so
true.
I thought maybe that was a connection, but also they lay it pretty thick that there is an actual fable in the universe that was once a serial killer that would chop its victims' heads off.
Yes, that was the other thing.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty laid out there for you. Like, there's no way that's it, because that's like the game telling you this is what you should think if you want an easy thing to think about, you know, until the very end.
Something that I actually said when you're talking to Ichabod Crane, who is the deputy mayor, because the actual mayor has left town. They don't actually say why, I don't think. And so he's like, well, what do you think? You know, and this is another time where I probably should have just stayed silent. But he was just like,
asshole.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, who do you think it is? What, like, why are you coming to me with no actual information? And so I just was like, well, I read the little thing when it popped up and said I had information about somebody, and apparently there's a dude in town that chops people's head off, so I'm just going to pick him. And then he was like, that's the most powerful man in town. You can't you can't say that without evidence and blah, 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 blah. Angry, angry, angry. And I was just like, oh.
How come the old,
you asked?
Old skinny guys are always the angriest?
I don't know.
Like bowel problems or something? It's just, I wonder, you know? Yeah. And a massage in the morning.
Massage with wine in the morning.
I was just thinking, like, this is a mature game, so he's probably going to, like he's not going for a
rub and tug.
Well, I mean, okay. It's Ichabod Crane we're talking about. He's a little more sophisticated than a rub and tug.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, they were talking about how big the bill was, so I assume it was
some kind of non-massage.
I like this conversation.
Or special massage.
Yeah, special massage. We'll find out in the next episode, because evidently there are boobies in the next episode.
Are there?
Did you not see the trailer for the next episode? Like, next on The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, but there weren't any boobies in mine. What trailer were you watching?
You didn't see that? It was in the background. I mean, being a man, you can totally spot them from a mile away.
Boob radar. Okay. I think there's boobs coming up. Yep, there they are.
Don't Ryan, hate me because I'm a dude.
Smudge. Nope, boobs. Boobs.
No. Don't hate me because I'm a dude. At the end, there's like a next time, and your character, Bigby, is talking to a strip club owner, and in the background there are strippers, and strippers sometimes do not wear things over their breasticles.
Strippers totally had tops on.
Weird.
That is actually really, really weird. Maybe I made a choice at some point where maybe you made more bad wolf choices and I made more good wolf choices, so they were just like, you know what?
The good
wolf player doesn't want to see boobies, but the bad wolf wants him some boobies.
That doesn't make sense, though.
That makes perfect sense.
No, it doesn't. Not in a real-world sense, because how would the strippers know that the good wolf is coming today to interrogate their boss? It's like, we better wear clothes, or else that good wolf is going to shut us down, even though we work at a strip club.
Maybe the cutscenes are different, you know, like different things happen in video games. You get different cutscenes or whatever based on decisions you make. That's the whole idea of having decisions. So maybe your next time on The Wolf Among Us is actually influenced by how good or bad your wolf is.
If it's any consolation, like, I feel as though they shouldn't have been there, because it all, like, video game boobs are just awkward. You know, like, it's awkward. It's not like a movie or like Game of Thrones or something where they fit, I guess. That doesn't even make sense. But in a video game, it's like they just, it looks out of place and weird, and it takes away from the experience, I find. So you probably had
a
better.
I love when we have these kind of conversations and you do these like funny little dances around what you actually want
to
say.
That's actually what I want to say, though, to be honest. Like, there's just no better way of saying it.
You picking your words is hilarious to me.
You can see it. You can see it going, because I don't want to. I'm trying to say something try not to say something that could be misconstrued, and then 10 episodes later, you're like, remember that time when you said something awful about breasts? Let's piss off all the female gamers all over again. It's like, no, that's not what I'm trying to do here. But seriously, look it up. I'm not crazy.
I think you're kind of crazy. So overall, Wolf Among Us episode 1, fantastic. It did have a kind of cliffhanger ending where the next victim of the serial killer who's chopping off heads, which, I mean, come on, Ichabod Crane, the Headless Horseman, there's a suspect for you too. But anyways, so Snow White ends up being, who is kind of your deputy companion helper in this whole mystery thing right up until the end. When you go into the dive bar to try to find the woodsman, she goes back to condo, apartment building, whatever you would want to call it, where they all live. And so she goes to go home, and you go down into the dive bar and interrogate the woodsman, and then you go to go home, and her head is in the same place that the prostitute's head was in, Faith. So that is the big cliffhanger ending of episode 1, and then apparently next time there's boobies, so looking forward to that.
Nudity. Let's be adults here. There is nudity in the next episode. It is a mature title, so expect swearing, blood, and nudity.
Yeah, definitely. There were some very mature, dark themes, and I loved it.
Did you tear the guy's arm off?
I did not tear the guy's arm off.
I went back and played it just so I could tear his arm off. And it's as satisfying as you may imagine. you tear it off and beat him with it.
That's not a QuickTime thing, is it?
Yes, it is.
Because that would be visceral if you had to, like, cue until the guy's arm ripped off.
Yeah, you're definitely cueing until his arm falling off.
Oh, man. Jeez. Yeah, that's intense. So, did you play anything else intense this week?
I did. Have you ever played Bioshock 2?
Yes, I did. Okay. I played most of the way through. I don't think I've ever actually made it right to the end. Well, I think I'm very, very close. I don't actually know why I haven't finished it.
It's worth playing through, I thought. I mean, I played it when it came out, and, you know, it was sort of like, you know, Bioshock 1 was amazing, and then let's go back to Rapture, and it's the same thing with every sequel done by a different, you know, development studio. It's still good, but it doesn't quite feel the same. And I think that's the issue a lot of reviewers are having with Arkham Origins that just came out today. It's still good, but doesn't feel this, you know, it's missing that, you know, I don't know whether it's polish. It's definitely not polished. It's still a good game, but it's like that spirit. It's hard to explain, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't know what I mean.
Yes.
You know what I mean.
I do.
Okay,
I
she
do.
Does.
Am I muted?
No, you're there. I can hear you. But I can sense the face you're making.
I'm not making a face. I was actually not paying attention, but then I started paying attention again, and I do know what you're saying.
Okay, good. Anyways, I played Minerva's Den. It's the story DLC they put out for Bioshock 2.
Which I do think I have. I'm pretty sure that when I bought Bioshock 2, it was the, like, Game of the Year edition with all of the DLC. Because I bought Bioshock 1, like, way, way after the franchise had actually come out. And I think I finished Bioshock 1, and then I played Bioshock 2, and the Game of the Year edition had just come out. So it would have been maybe about a year after Bioshock 2 was released.
Yeah. I mean, I never played it, because I think I rented Bioshock 2. And was like, I beat it and I was done with it. And I was like, that was a cool story. And please, let's probably not go to Rapture again unless it's super important. Because I've always felt like Bioshock 2 was sort of like we need a sequel to this game because it's doing good monies.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it was bad. So lately, Minerva's Den was famously not released on PC. And then it was released on PC, but then it was famously not released on Steam. But more recently, 2K has actually, with the shuttering of Games for Windows Live, has ported it to Steamworks. But they did one better. They actually gave it away for free to all people who owned Bioshock 2 on Steam.
Oh, nice.
So if you have Bioshock 2 on Steam through the many sales and giveaways and bundles and all that fun stuff,
I don't think that I do. I have Bioshock and Bioshock 2 for the Xbox. Mm-hmm. Well, and Bioshock 3 or Bioshock Infinite, whatever. whatever you want to call it, close enough. I have all of that on the Xbox. I think I have Bioshock, the first one, on PC, just because it was part of a bundle or a deal or something. It's one of those things that when you see it for $2, you're just like, oh my god, I love that game. I cannot have that game. So I think I have it, but I don't even think it's installed. But yeah, no, I don't have Bioshock 2 on PC.
Bioshock is one of those games that I would always want to have installed on my hard drive just to be like, you know what? You've never played Bioshock? Oh man, you got to try it. It's great. Because the way it boots up fine, it runs, you know, the first few hours are really exciting and interesting. And, you know, it makes sense to have it. So the cool thing about Minerva's Den is it's actually connected to the Gone Home game. The people that made Gone Home, Steve something, he was one of the lead writers on Minerva's Den.
Oh, I thought you meant like the Minerva's Den was somehow like
narratively connected.
Yeah, and
no, sorry.
Oh, I don't understand.
Just
I don't
know if I like this. The developers are sort of one, you know, very connected, and the guy who helped make Gone Home was heavily involved in Minerva's Den, and Minerva's Den was highly regarded as very epic. This is the way you do story content, and really what we're hoping we get with Burial at Sea. But Minerva's Den definitely lives up to the fact that it is a Bioshock story standalone. Like before the show, you had said something in this tone, and then I immediately, like, my brain shut down, my eyes rolled into my head, and I went like, I can't even remember, but I was imitating the shop, one of the shops, like
Circus of Value.
Circus of Value, you know, and it's like, whoa, what happened? And it's because I heard it so many times, because in Bioshock 2 or 1, or I can't really remember in 1, but at least in 2, you saw a shop, you run up to it, you hack it, you get the free items, and you move on. Mm-hmm. You know, I always did that. And the story in Minerva's Den is really neat, where you're, again, playing a big daddy, and I'm not going to spoil it, even though it is old, and I just think if you did get it for free, you I want to give you a chance to try it, listeners. You play a big daddy as you did in Bioshock 2, not the same big daddy, but it explores, you know, a completely separate aspect of Rapture, in the sense that you're exploring the computing aspect of Rapture, like all the computers that helped run Rapture, like set pressure, controlled water, you know,
temperature, all that stuff.
So it's really neat that they kind of applied, you know, computer science, and, you know, to the Rapture world. And I thought that was awesome, because that's what I went to school for. So it's kind of like, this is really neat that they're taking, like, you know, computers and trying to explain how the computing system for Rapture worked. And your mission is to get in there and steal the machine code for the Thinker, which is basically the AI of Rapture. And it's about 2 to 3 hours. It's really cool. Yeah, nerd. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's really neat. And it's actually $5 if you don't own it. And you can pick that up on Steam.
Cool. So do you want to touch on Twilight Princess quickly? We got to get moving here.
We do. I'll just say this. Like, I've been on a Zelda kick. I beat Wind Waker over the weekend, and I'm like, I want to play more Zelda. And I threw in Twilight Princess on the Wii, and man, the Wii had some shitty graphics.
Thank you!
You know what? And this is why the Wii U is so awesome, because at least it's HD. You know, like, I'll be able to play a PS4 game or even a recently released PC game, and then go back to my Wii U and be like, oh yeah, this does not look like shit. It's HD, it's not blurry, the textures are nice. You know, it's not photorealistic, but I don't need my Nintendo games to be photorealistic. But that being said, when a Nintendo game is trying to look, you know, realistic, like Twilight Princess was, it does not hold up. The ground textures looked bad. The facial animations were very stiff. The character animations were still pretty stiff. And I remember like liking the way Link moved in that game. So it's still a cool Zelda experience, but it's like, we need an HD Zelda like soon, you know. Like Wind Waker was great, but
it doesn't count though.
I feel like it doesn't, because I want to test this theory out, but I feel like I could break out the GameCube, load up Wind Waker on my HD TV and still enjoy it, you know, on the GameCube. Whereas Twilight Princess, it's the graphics do not, you know, it's not there, right? Yeah. So I feel like HD port of Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword would have been better for gamers like us. But I think Wind Waker was probably the smarter choice for newer Zelda fans. I'm a Zelda fan. But that's all I gotta say about the Twilight Princess. Why don't we move on into the next there segment there?
So, Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on, which brings us to Quickfire News.
Speaking of Bioshock, we have Burial.
What?
Burial.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes. Burial at Sea, Episode 1, is arriving on November 12th, which is crazy close. The first half of story DLC for Bioshock Infinite is just around the corner. In this episode, players will control Booker DeWitt as he journeys through Rapture with Elizabeth. What is wrong with me? The second half is still in development at Irrational Games and is expected at some point before March 2014.
Infinity Ward says COD players are not gamers. Citing the fact that most people who play Call of Duty only play games within that franchise, executive producer Mark Rubin says people who play COD aren't gamers. As such, Mark does not expect the arrival of the next-gen consoles to have any impact on the makeup of Call of Duty's audience. Quote-unquote, it's kind of weird, ironic thing to say. They aren't hardcore gamers or even gamers, but they play Call of Duty every night. And those guys are going to continue to play regardless of platform, so I think not only will we continue to engage with that existing player base, but we'll take the next gen and see how far we can go with it. Call of Duty Ghosts releases November 5th with PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions available on launch day.
I don't know where he's getting that evidence, because he's never actually had a console shift like this before. Yeah, it's weird. Anyways, the PS4 will have a day one patch. Not to be outdone by Nintendo or Microsoft, Sony announced that the PS4 will launch with a day one 300-megabyte patch. Update 1.5 adds a lot of features, including remote play for the Vita, streaming apps like Twitch and Ustream, and Blu-ray and DVD compatibility. Oh, so key. 300 megabytes will be a breeze compared to the 1-gigabyte Wii U update. That took forever.
Sony is asking everyone to stop talking about naked Ellen Page. A nude model of Ellen Page's character from Beyond Two Souls hit the internet last week, and Sony has now weighed in, asking everyone to remove the images and just stop talking about it, because that works. Sony's official statement is that it is not, in fact, a model of Ellen Page, but just a computer-generated body that's not even accessible through regular non-hacked gameplay. Quote-unquote, the images are from an illegally hacked console and are very, very damaging for Ellen Page. It's not actually her body. I would really appreciate it if you could take the story down to end the cycle of discussion around this. So stop it, guys. Just stop it. Go back to all the other naked women on the internet.
Okay, so I have a pretty finely tweaked boob dar, and I did not hear about this story. So you cannot really make fun of me, you know, for what I said about the Wolf Among Us. And then you pick this story. And if I had picked this story, it would have been awful. But you pick it. It's totally fine. I don't get it. WoW composer has a tribute band. The lead composer on World of Warcraft, Jason Hayes, announced his video game tribute band Critical Hit today, along with the band's debut album, which includes covers of the main themes from Tetris, Pokemon, Halo 2, and Metal Gear Solid 2. Volume 1 is out on October 31st, and if you're at BlizzCon, you can watch them live on November 9th.
Is Microsoft building a Google Glass competitor? Microsoft is reportedly working with manufacturers on web-connected eyewear, which sounds like a Google Glass competitor to me. This could be... That was barely even a sentence. Holy crap. this could be a very interesting addition to the gaming space, as plans for the Illuma Room were officially recently scrapped. This somewhat unofficially confirms rumors that started in August when Microsoft filed patents for a head-mounted display with a microphone, an eye-tracking system, a depth camera, and a camera capable of recognizing the faces of other players. Very interested to see what all the companies have to offer coming up in the VR space. So, we have t-shirts on Slashly, which I always forget to plug. So, they look like this. I am currently wearing it. It is the Gamers Inn t-shirt. Oh my god, Ryan's wearing it too! Oh,
you're
that's
in
so
uniform.
Exciting. We match and we didn't even realize it. Nice. So you can head on over to slashloot.com and pick up your very own Gamers Inn t-shirt. There are multiple different sizes, multiple different colors, women's cuts, men's cuts. We're all over the map. It's awesome. So there's also tons and tons and tons of shirts from other AMU shows like StarCast. I hear there is an Angry Chicken design that is currently being approved.
Very nice.
As well as shows from the other Frog Pants offerings. So we've got the Morning Stream. We've got the Instance. Doghouse has some shirts up there too. So you should head on over to slashloot.com and grab yourself some tees. Which brings us to our topic of the week, which is Halloween and scary, scary games. So, Ryan, I think we should start with what our scariest game is ever. I think everyone already knows mine, but I think we should start here.
It's a good place to start. It's a very good... Okay, scariest game ever. Like, it's not your favorite scary game, though, but it is the game that scared you the most.
Yes.
Right.
Which, for mine, could have something to do with when I played it, but at the same time, I'm generally more of a fan of... kind of like haunting scary, like suspenseful scary, not like zombie jumping in my face scary. I don't necessarily find jumpy things scary. I find like psychological things scary. So go ahead. What is your scariest game?
Well, I mean, my scariest game, you know, was Slender Man, because Slender Man's only goal as a design goal was to scare the player. Like, there was programming in that game that would specifically be just to scare you, like calculating the probability of you turning around to see the Slender Man, you know, like, so, you know, Slender Man would be populated behind you and the game would say, okay, he's been looking forward long enough, you know, here the chance of him turning around to see Slender Man, it's probably pretty likely, so let's draw him in there, you know. And it's random.
Really?
Yeah. It's all randomized.
See, okay, because Slender Man is also my scariest game of all time. If you want to see the one and only time that I've ever played it, go and watch the highlights from last year, because I played it at 3 o'clock in the morning for Extra Life. So if you want to see my entire experience, it is there. And I swear to God, that scarred me for life. I have now watched it so many times because of trying to fix the audio in that clip. That, I mean, I'm kind of numb to that specific playthrough.
Yeah,
you... But, I mean, there were times I couldn't even rewatch that playthrough because it scared me so badly.
You're...
So badly. And then to know it's randomly generated, oh my god.
Your playthrough was not a typical Slender Man playthrough in the sense that I think we were...
I'm a big wuss.
Well, we were psyching you out. Like, everybody was on the chat, so we were really psyching everybody out, because I watched yours, you know, and it's like, you didn't even get the surprise, oh, I'm dead, you know? Like, it was more like you were walking and you couldn't see Slender Man, and all of a sudden you were dead.
No, I never saw him.
Yeah,
was like, and I'm so glad I didn't, because I think I actually would have, like, pissed myself. Like, yeah. I was so... terrified.
You were pretty much terrified. Done at that point. I think that marked the conclusion of your Extra Life, because after that you just huddled into a ball and was like, I'm gonna go play Mass Effect now and be mean to people. You were doing a Renegade playthrough, weren't you?
I was so like worked up that I was just like, okay, I don't want to talk to anybody anymore. I'm not even gonna like stream. I'm just gonna go sit on my couch and put my headphones on and start a Renegade playthrough and just kick some ass, because I feel really weak and helpless right now.
Okay, I'm gonna put a challenge out to our listeners and extended audience. There is a...
I thought you were going to challenge me to play it again. And I was
like, you're involved in this challenge.
Not accepted.
There is a Slender Man HD remake being released on Steam called Slender Man The Arrival. It comes out on October 31st. Now, I don't know...
Is that an HD remake? I thought that was an entirely different game.
I think it is maybe a different... I don't know a lot about it.
There seemed to be, at least from what I played through of Slender Man, it was just basically like the woods. It was all dark. There were some, like, watching other people's streams, because I did watch some of you guys play after, because, I mean, I was in and out in, like, 5 minutes, so...
Right.
I did watch some of you guys who ended up going longer, but it was just basically like, you know, some abandoned buildings or vehicles. There was, you know, the woods was most of it. And then I think that's all I saw, really. But I think I watched part of a trailer. I don't even think I could get through the whole trailer for the new Slender game, but... it looks like there's so much more to it. Like, at one point, it seemed like light out. And well, so...
Yeah, you can... if you collect all the pages, you can do a daytime mode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, who would ever play that enough to collect all those pages?
I think Bob did. I remember he did it, and he was pretty proud of himself, and then he probably couldn't sleep for a week.
You're saying that it's randomly generated and it's calculating the probability of you looking behind you. So if I never look behind me, will I never see Slender Man? Because I don't think I looked behind myself ever.
That's not necessarily true. He will appear in front of you from time to time.
That bastard.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dick. But yeah, you know what? I'm looking at the Slender Man The Arrival, and it doesn't appear to be a game you buy, so...
Which, that's something else we should mention, is that Slender is free to play. I think it's technically called Slender the 8 Pages.
Yeah, this is called Slender the Arrival. It looks like very HD-ified. It might be interesting to check out as a, you know, a sequel to the, you know, Extra Life Plays Scary Games.
Yeah, I can maybe give it another shot. I can't say that I will last any longer than I did last year, but that was not made up. Like, I literally, my screen was like, I don't know, maybe a foot away from my face. It's like this big, so it's quite a big screen. I was totally immersed. I had the guys in my ears freaking me out, and I mean, like, that whole entire experience was terrifying, and I legitimately could not get away from my computer fast enough, and I ended up on the opposite side of the room. Like, it was just, like, headphones off, like, cowering in a corner, just crazy. So, I mean, it is free to play for anyone who wants to experience it, and I would recommend it as an experience, because the fact that it's free to play and the fact that it's so terrifying without having, like, you don't have anything except for a flashlight and a dark forest.
Yeah.
And it's just so well done. Like, they hit the mark. They met their goals. Like, they're just amazing. Like, I'm so impressed with that game, but terrifying.
It's like one of the, again, it's one of those indie titles that sort of comes out of nowhere, and it's just impressive. And I did look it up. I think the new one is going to cost money. So, I mean, maybe we can check it out. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but it might be interesting to revisit the Slender Man experience. I don't know. Having recently relived those...
If we do it...
Yeah?
We need to do it not at 2 a.m. because I screamed so loud.
That's right.
And I live in an apartment building. So we need to definitely take that into account.
Okay. That's my excuse for doing it during the daylight.
Yes.
That's
when there's still lots and lots of extra life to go, and I can play, like, happy, fluffy, pink monsters or something. I don't know.
I'm totally game for playing a super scary game not at 2 in the morning when...
Yeah.
I mean, I live in a new house, so I haven't quite experienced this place enough to know if there are some weird sounds. And I mean, one weird sound, and I am done. I recently spent, some after hours... Speaking of Halloween, I recently spent some after hours in a very old building that it gets very dark, and we were shooting a promo for work. And the video will be live at some point, hopefully. But in between shots, when we turn the lights back on, and the place is reportedly haunted.
What kind of work are you doing?
I was shooting a promo for some content we're putting up on the web. I'll explain. It sounds like a porno, doesn't it? It's not a porno, guys. Don't worry. And even if you are worried, I was behind the camera, so you didn't see anything. So when you flick the lights back on after having, you know, it being in a dark scene where the only light was the flashlight, now all I think about is people thinking I'm shooting pornos. Anyways, long story short, when you flick the lights back on and we'd start talking about how the scene went, you'd hear like this thump coming from the very bowels of the building, like the very basement of it. And after like some really intense scenes where there was some screaming, we heard the a thump, and the thump kind of went, boo-hoo. You know, it sounded like it was angry. It was very creepy.
So did you go down and investigate any more of that story?
No, I did not investigate. We got the hell out of there. It was scary, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of places can be scary. And that's why Slender Man, you know, does it so well, because it's very simple. And its only goal is to scare you. Why, when you look at the rest of our list here, like, favorite scary game, we didn't pick Slender Man, but, you know, I picked, you know, my favorite scary game was the remake for Resident Evil. Because it was probably the first Resident Evil game that I played and enjoyed. And it's not really as scary as Slender Man, but it has those moments, but it has those jump scare moments, you know?
Yeah, see, I'm not a huge fan of the jump scare, so I actually haven't played... I'm a fan of horror movies, but I found that horror movies have really dropped off. Like, I mean, Paranormal Activity, the first one, was one that I thought was really, really good. That was really scary. Yeah,
it's the anticipation of what's going to happen.
Yeah, but there's a lot of movies in the horror genre that, and I'm sure that there's going to be lots of people that are going to rip me apart for the statement, but they've really fell flat for me a lot in recent years. And so, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the gore, like the Saw stuff, and just gore for gore's sake, and, you know, zombies. I'm not a big fan of zombies. I like Walking Dead, but that's about as far as it goes. So
it's because it's the only good zombie content. Well, I mean, I knew you were going to bring up Walking Dead, and I mean, Walking Dead is one of my, is my favorite zombie-related anything, because it's actually one of the few good examples of horror, not horror, but zombie content. I don't find it scary. It's gruesome, and sometimes it's like, oh god, oh, that's, you know, but it's tense as well. But I find most horror movies are just really, like, kind of, that's like, that's just not even, that's not scary. It's kind of like a joke, you know?
Yeah, and I find that I tend to stay away from scary video games for that same reason, is that I just love video games, so I don't want to spend time playing something where I'm going to get let down the way that horror movies have let me down. It's not that I don't like the horror genre, it's not that I don't like being scared, it's just that I really hate getting let down, and that genre for me is just walking such a fine line right now. So, I mean, for in terms of like my favorite ever scary game, would definitely is BioShock. And it's really funny because the scary parts of BioShock are pretty much the jumping out at you. What are they called? The
splicers.
Splicers. Thank you. Yeah. And that's where a lot of the scary comes from, is the claustrophobic feeling because you're underneath the ocean, and then there's these things jumping out at you all the time that are zombie-like. They're mutated humans, so kind of along the same vein as zombies.
Yeah, I mean, it's that like anticipation of walking into a room in BioShock. You don't feel as powerful as you do in BioShock 2 because you are just a human. And being caught off guard can kind of, you know, cause a big issue for you. And that's kind of like, you talk about like the mutated type of, you know, the mutated, like super angry enemies that come at you and take forever to take down. That reminds me of like playing The Last of Us, but it was even more tense because in The Last of Us, some of those mutated things could take you out in one shot. So if they caught you off guard, scared you enough that they were able to grab you, and take you out. But other times, like if someone got the jump on you, you would have to expel more supplies to survive, you know, and that's all that adds to the tension, like, oh god, you know, I gotta get the jump on these guys, or I gotta make sure I'm always being cautious of what's coming up. You know, so you know what, now, like, I'm not a big fan of like scary games either. You know, I guess it's just, you're right, like, it's the jump scare that just usually ends up making it a scary game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Amnesia, I played the first one a little bit, and I just found it boring.
Amnesia, I forgot about that, too. Yeah. Because, I mean, there's kind of, and I haven't played Gone Home yet, I did buy it, but I haven't played it yet, but there's that kind of, like, empty house mystery suspenseful type feeling that I do find quite frightening. And I like, even in, because it's something that kind of scares me in real life. I mean, I haven't had the feeling so much since I've been living in apartments, but back when I was, you know, living at my parents' place and they'd go out, I mean, they didn't have a huge house, but it's enough to, you know, have a main floor and a basement. And, you know, it's big enough that you can't see the whole thing all the time. And, you know, whereas like right now, I mean, if I stand in the hallway of my apartment, I can see the entire apartment. So, you know, like there's that kind of unknown that if you're in an empty house, there's just so much unknown all the time, and it can be very frightening.
Like, I'm glad you brought up Gone Home, because you're right, it has, I like that this conversation has turned into the you know, the non-typical scary game. Like, Gone Home has its moments at the beginning when you're not really sure what's going on, and you're in this big empty house, and there's a thunderstorm, and you know, it's kind of creepy. And I mean, I grew up in a giant 100-year-old renovated farmhouse, and our computer used to be on the main room. And you know, water heaters, right?
Like,
water heaters in a house are the freakiest things ever, because they usually kick in when everyone's asleep. But the computer was in the main room, and it was when I was playing Warcraft pretty, you know,
intensely.
Yeah, I was addicted. It was like 3 a.m, and I'm like running like Molten Core or Blackfire Chasms. I can't remember what they're called. And like 3 a.m, you hear the water heater kick on. It's like boom, you know, and it's like a solid like 5 minutes where you're just, oh my God, when's it going to stop? Okay, it stopped. All right, let me just log out and get the hell to bed. You know, it's okay, ghost, it's bedtime. I get it.
Which is so funny that, like, I mean, because that is definitely the, if I just go to bed and get into, it's like the bed is the safe zone.
I don't know why.
Like, everything's going to be okay if I could just wrap myself in covers. And it doesn't make any sense if there's actually a ghost or a serial killer or, you know, insert scary thing here. Your blanket's not going to protect you. But it's this, like, ingrained thing that we just have in our heads that it's going to be okay if I just get to bed.
You know, I don't tell a lot of people this, but it was...
Now you're going to tell the entire internet?
Yeah, because I feel this is like confession time. I told my story about how I work for a porn company, and now I'm going to tell people, like, the thing that gets me, the irrational fear, it's not... You had mentioned, like, psycho killers and, you know, qu'est-ce que c'est and all that fun stuff, you know, but it's aliens for me that get it. Like, they creep me out.
So have you ever seen The Fourth Kind?
Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, or Third Kind, isn't it? Is Fourth Kind a movie?
Yeah, it's a movie. It's with that Mila chick.
Oh yeah, that movie. No, that movie is like the you know, that in Dark Skies is like, I can watch the trailer and it's like, I've seen the movie. No, it's all good. You know, but I've seen like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and that's the sort of borderline movie that creeps me out. But I'm, the problem is that it creeps me out, but I'm super interested in it.
Mm.
It's...
I had The Fourth Kind for probably a good year and a half before I actually watched it. Like, I went out and I bought it, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And it was just sitting there, like, for literally a year and a half. And I'm just like, okay, you can do this. You can do this. And then finally my brother was like, have you watched that movie yet? And I'm like, no.
Is it?
I'll watch it now.
That's the type of movie that's like, creepy for the sake of being creepy. Like, it's those scenes you get in X-Files like once every 4 seasons, and the show's about aliens, so this is really weird. Like, there'd be this scene like once every 3 seasons or so where there'd be just the gray dudes show up, but it's a show about aliens, yet like the creepy aliens only show up like, you know, not very often. And and when you bring it back to games, like XCOM comes to mind, like that's sort of like kind of creepy in a sense, but you feel more powerful.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a little creepy because it's the gray dudes and stuff. But like, I'm trying to think of, there really isn't a lot of like alien games that sort of are creepy. Not,
yeah, not really creepy alien games. I mean, well, for you, you've got Goriest Game here. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I don't play too many of the horror genre of video games, so mm-hmm. I don't really have one of my own. But I mean, Dead Space is yes. what you've got down here as Goriest Game. So I mean, is what role, if any, do aliens play in that one?
Well, I mean, it is, I guess, an alien virus that is very, but it's like the different kind of like creepy. Like the creepy to me is like the abduction side of it, I guess. Mm. Whereas Dead Space is more like the viral infection, where, you know, it's still very creepy. And the creepiest thing about Dead Space, at least in 2 and 3, in 1 it was very tense, but in 2 and 3, when it got more actiony, there was less, you know, tension scare. It was more like, these things are going to tear me apart, so I better do good. And when you died, the scenes were so gross. Like, there'd be monsters that would tear your head off and then get up on your head and, like, take over your body, and you'd be like, you know? And then there'd be other monsters that would, like, grab your head, like, by the top, pull your jaw apart, puke down your mouth, and then leave you alone. And you'd see the scene of your guy going, he'd start to cough, and then he'd start to, like, puke, like, vomit and blood and just so gross. It's so gross, but so.
And you just told me to play this because you thought I would like it.
No, well, that's not why you like the game. You like the game because it's action packed and fun. You know, it's like Tomb Raider. It's those.
Which I still haven't played.
Yeah, that one I can recommend, because the difference, the similarities between the two is that when you die, oh, you die spectacularly. You know, they do not hold back.
Yeah.
You know, Dead Space is a little more gruesome because they have monsters killing you as opposed to giant spikes through the head.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, gory deaths seems to be the thing these days.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So do we have a recommendation of some, well, I mean, okay, I have a really quick question. I don't know if you played it or not, but one of the kind of, I remember when I was young, probably around 10 or 12, my friend at the cottage, my cottage was very much like a tent with a hard roof sort of thing, and her cottage was like the luxury mansion type cottage, so they had internet, she had her game system, like, they had internet back when our house didn't have internet, they had internet at the cottage, so.
Oh, fancy.
But yeah, they, so she had, I feel like it was a PlayStation, or something like that. I can't remember what system it was exactly. It might have been a Nintendo thing. But I remember playing Silent Hill.
Yeah.
So games. Have you played Silent Hill? Because we didn't play very much of it, because I think we must have been maybe closer to 12 than 10, because our parents used to leave us alone all the time. And so it was like, we're in the woods at the cottage playing Silent Hill, and I think we did it for maybe 20 minutes. They were like, okay, we got to turn this off. Let's play Mario or whatever.
Yeah, I have a little bit of experience with Silent Hill. I never beat it, but like, I've probably watched the movie, you know, longer than I've played any of the games.
So is it like, because I didn't play much and can't really remember, but it's one of those things that I'm like, I have this memory of this Silent Hill game, and I remember it being super creepy, and I really want to pick it up, but I also remember it being super creepy, and I don't really want to pick it up. So is it, like, what do you know about the Silent Hill franchise? Is that something that is like gory, jumpy, scary, or creepy, abandoned, scary?
It's a mix between like creepy abandoned and Resident Evil type monsters. Like, you know, it's the type of game where you are defending yourself with a gun and a knife. Maybe not in the first one, but I know in further, I actually did play a Silent Hill game, funny enough. I just remembered, on the Wii. And it was interesting because there was no way to defend yourself. The only way to defend yourself was to run away. And it actually made the game very interesting in the sense that when you got into sort of combat scenarios where monsters would chase you, you had to do this with the Wiimote. Oh my God, run away! You know?
Of course you did.
Yeah, of course you did. It was the Wii. You know, it was acceptable back then.
Yeah.
it's like a psychological game where the monsters are really fucked up. Like, you've probably heard of Pyramid Head.
No.
No, it's basically like a zombified nurse, I think. I could be wrong. I could be thinking of a cosplay. And then there's like this giant pyramid head thing, and it's like this really like rusted metal, you know, sharp angled, bloody, like it's disgusting. Do yourself a favor and do not look up Pyramid Head. Especially if your safe search is off.
Yeah.
just in case. But yeah, the Silent Hill franchise early on is known for its scary moments, but I don't know if it lives up to it now.
Yeah.
Similar to Resident Evil, I think the series has kind of gone downhill because it's trying to do too much, you know?
Yeah. It'd be interesting if we've got anybody listening who is a fan of the Silent Hill franchise, write in and let me know if I should play it, because again, it's one of those like potentially nostalgic things that I think would be really fun, but I'd have to find a port of the early games, I think. But yeah, so I think overall that pretty much does it for scary Halloween games. Anything else you want to add? Your most memorable scare.
Yeah, quickly. People will know this one for sure. All I have to say is Resident Evil dog through window scare, and people will know exactly when they played it and where they played it, because that is like the iconic first scare in Resident Evil, where there is the zombie reveal in Resident Evil 1, but then there's a moment where you're walking down a seemingly quiet hallway with the thunderstorm, and it's that tension and anticipation, and you walk past the first window and nothing happens, and then you walk past the second window, all of a sudden these pack of dogs jump through and start trying to eat your ankles. I remember screaming. I was playing with my brothers, and it's like, oh, it literally scared us, and we had to pause the game because it was like that. It's like, okay, guys, come on. It's just dogs that, you know, look a little malnourished. So let's just put them down.
Jeez, yeah. I'm, again, not a big fan of the jump scare. But yeah. I mean, I've seen the Resident Evil movies and they're just not really up my alley.
Yeah, those movies are shite.
Yeah. So I've never really played the game strictly for that reason. Because I was just like, the movie's not really meh.
Well, I mean, it's hard to recommend the Resident Evil series, you know, like obviously RE1 is a classic, RE4 is another really good one, but like to play it on these days' platforms, I don't know what game you would go for. Like 5 really wasn't the classic Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like that's a tough one. 6 is not the same with 5. It's not really the classic, but yeah.
So I think that pretty much does it for the show. I just wanted to remind everybody again for the bazillionth time. I promise after November 2nd, I will stop with the spamming. But it's helping me because I've actually hit my goal, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
But it's Extra Lifetime again. So if you want to support our team or support an individual, then go for it. Do it for the kids. You can find our team page at bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2013, which I think I've said more times than I have said anything else in the past 2 weeks. But we're going to be playing for 25 hours in support of the Children's Miracle Network. Ryan and I are both playing for Sick Kids in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be streaming for most of it, and we're going to have all kinds of special guests from our Gamers In community, from the AMOVE community, from the Frog Pants community, including people like Hakito from the Morning Stream now, but previously of App Slappy. So I'm very excited. I think we're going to be playing some WoW with him because he is way into WoW right now. So I think that is the plan for Hakito whenever he jumps on the stream. We're also, since this is our... Oh, this is something else. It is actually our last episode before the Extra Life Marathon, because the Extra Life Marathon is next Saturday. So instead of having a show on Friday night, we're going to do a wrap-up on Sunday. So you guys can look for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to kick off the event playing Portal 2. We're going to do a co-op competition. I think probably Joel of StarCrossed Online and Comics Coast to Coast is going to be helping me out. And I think we're going to be playing against Ryan and James and seeing who can get the furthest fastest.
Sweet. I haven't actually played the co-op in Portal 2, so this shall be interesting.
I've never made it through. I have started with a partner... Really? 3 times now, I think, and gone like to the 4th or 5th set of levels, but I've never actually beat the co-op in Portal 2, so it's going to be fun. The whole stream is going to be fun. We're going to have all kinds of people coming on. We've got Dills to play, which you previously announced, is going to come and play me in Hearthstone. Actually, the person, I believe his name is John, who was the donator who ended up putting me up over my goal, is going to come on and play something at some point during the day live with me on the stream, because I promised that whoever put me over my goal would get to come and play live. So
cool.
He's going to be jumping on, which is so much fun. And then, yeah, we've got Dills to play Hearthstone. We've got Terpster is going to jump on at some point during the day. I don't know if he's actually going to game with us, because he's flying to the States to come to BlizzCon. So he's a busy, busy man. We might just grab him for a couple minutes to just come on and chat with us for a while. But one way or another. Who else have we got? Ryan?
We mentioned Ibbit?
Bill and Ibbit. We haven't mentioned either one of them. So go ahead. Mention Bill and mention Ibbit.
Bill Duran's going to be joining us. Punish Props. I don't know if he's what he's playing, but he has mentioned Borderlands 2 on here. I think that's what his current obsession is. But I'm really excited that Brian Ibbett's going to be joining us, probably to play some Cards Against Humanity. And that guy
is Cards Against Humanity with that guy, and it's a ridiculous life experience that no one should ever miss. So I'm really excited. And then we've got Nicole Spag and Cashel are going to come on and play some Borderlands 2 with me as the ladies.
The ladies.
So, yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't get Kimmy, but she is in the process of moving from Australia to the States. And the November 1st is actually her moving day. So we couldn't get Kimmy, but we have Nicole and Cashel. So I'm super excited
about
that.
So there's a lady spot. We need a fourth lady.
We need a lady. Yeah.
Who's in?
So, come on, ladies. Come play some Borderlands 2.
I am not going to play so I can put on a lady voice. That would just be... So don't suggest that. That would be offensive.
That would be amazing. So, Ryan plays Borderlands 2 for 3 hours in a lady voice. That should be one of like our stretch goals.
Damn it.
So, as I mentioned, we were playing for Sick Kids in Toronto, and Diablo has ponied up $100,000 to the Extra Life Challenge. And so whoever gets the most money overall, whichever hospital, is going to end up getting a bonus $60,000 prize. So currently Sick Kids from Toronto is in fifth place for the most money raised, and we are currently at $43,000. So almost $44,000. So very, very exciting.
Wow. Sorry, I'm just really tired. This is you're right.
You, Ryan?
No. It is really exciting, and I think Extra Life just gets more, you know, bigger and bigger each year, which they illustrate on their homepage. Last year, I think they raised like $2.2 million, and I think they're set. Like, I just feel like Extra Life is more and more mainstream each year, and it's getting more recognized. And, I mean, even on the Gamers In donation page, we are seeing a ton more donations coming into us than last year.
Mm-hmm. I said, I've already met my goal, but you can still donate to me, you can still donate to the team, you can donate to anyone, because our team has not met the goal yet. So my personal goal is $500, and I'm just over that, and our team goal is $2,000, and I think we are just over halfway there. So if you guys want to donate, there are still plenty of places to donate to, plenty of people to donate to, and you can pick your TGI teammate of choice. You can pick your hospital of choice. It's all for the kids. So we want you to donate as much as you can, because every little bit does help. Mm-hmm. Again, you can head over to our team page at bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2013 and donate. You can head over to YouTube, because we've got the highlights from 2012 posted now. I think that's it.
Yeah, gamersinpodcast.com/extralife if you're looking for more information on like schedules and games and streams and where to watch us and all that fun stuff as well.
We will be streaming our main stream on the A-Move TV Twitch channel, which is where we go live every Friday night. But we also have people split off throughout the day to stream on the Gamers In Twitch, on all our personal Twitch channels, which mine is GIS Gamer, like I am everywhere. Ryan, what's your Twitch channel?
It's at Arm the Nuke.
Ah, there you go. Arm the Nuke. I don't think I knew that.
It's like a high school thing. It's like I don't use it for anything. It's just something I have. And I mean, yeah, that's where...
Well, Ryan and I will probably be either on GIS Gamer or the Gamers In, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So yeah, go follow us there and stay in touch. Are we doing the live page again? One splash page. Is that working out?
Yeah. If you go to gamersinpodcast.com/live, where you used to watch us before we joined A-Move, there'll be a tabbed interface, and you'll be able to watch, you know, A-Move, and then switch over to the Gamers In if someone's doing something there, or to any of the other streams. We're going to be getting streams from all of our participants. So you can, you know, if you're feeling saucy, you can look, oh, what's Lou Page doing? Oh, he's playing an older game. Because he's going to be playing older games, he said.
Yes.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. So gamersinpodcast.com/live, you can see all the tabs. We will be using one chat, which will be the mainstream, the A-Move TV chat. Mm-hmm. So if you are talking to us on the day, everybody will be watching that chat, and that's going to be our main chat room. So I'm very much excited. I know Ryan's very excited. We're excited for all of our guests and all the money we're going to raise and all the fun we're going to have. So join us on November 2nd. And make sure to donate. I think that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on A-Move TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and A-Move Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you have any questions about anything you've heard tonight or any input on should Jocelyn actually play Silent Hill or Slender?
Ever again.
Then you can email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter @SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week.
My name's James Bartholomew, and this year I'm going to be playing with the Gamers In team for Extra Life Charity on November 2nd. I come from a podcast called Initiative Check, and I'm one of the team that runs IndieLove.com. I stream on www.twitch.tv/Iagavos, and that's where you can find me on Twitter, @Iagavos. What we're doing for the Extra Life Charity is we're going to be playing games for 25 hours to raise $2,000 for the Children's Miracle Network. What that means is that we're going to be playing whatever you want and streaming it on twitch.tv/amovetv. What we want you to do is spread the word and donate to that cause to help us raise that money for the children's games. Come and stop by on the Twitch channel and support us. Come and play games with us. Come and have fun. It's all going to be a blast and it's all going to be very exciting. As I said, 25 hours, and that's a feat. That's going to be really difficult, but it's also going to be a freaking blast. The person who donates most of the team is as a special prize from the team. It's going to get to decide my hair colour for Christmas. Be any dark colour you want, and I'll dye it that colour. I'll video it. I'll video the whole dyeing process, and it'll be up on the internet. So what you need to know mainly is November 2nd, 25 hours, twitch.tv/amusetv, and the donation page is bit.ly/TGIExtraLife2013. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for stopping by, and we'll see you then.